in the Word of God. John is teaching and preaching. I should say preaching. John is preaching, and there becomes a differences between John's disciples and the Jews on purification. And John here, as he is teaching, if you back up into verse 27, here's what he said. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from God. So John clarifies it very quickly and said, hey, listen, you talk about purification, but we have nothing if it doesn't come from God. Amen. There is no purifying. There is no cleansing. Amen. If it does not come from God. Now, John had no illusion of who he was. He had no illusion of the ministry he was sent to do. He realized that his ministry was not built around him, but built around him who he was sent to prepare the way for. I'm afraid that sometimes in the ministry, we lose that. We begin to get to a place that we forget the ministry isn't about us. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So he understood fully, his purpose was to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And he knew that he would soon fade away. He knew that he would soon not be present. For John himself said in verse 30, he must decrease. Amen. He must increase, but I must decrease. John said, hey, listen, I'm just here for what God's got me for. And God's given me what I got, but I'm going to fade away. But there's going to come one after me who is mightier than I, and he's going to increase. You see, when we look at what God does in the church, we realize we're just a part of what God wants accomplished for his glory. John received one of the greatest compliments ever given to man. When we look in Matthew 11 and verse 11, here's what the Son of God said about John. The Son of God said this, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Can you imagine the Son of God giving praise to a man on this earth, and he says that there ain't been none greater than him. You know what that means? That means Abraham was not greater than him. That means Moses was not greater than him. That means Noah was not greater than him. That means that David was not greater than him. And we know that they were great men. Now, John didn't do what Abraham done. John didn't do what we know that Noah did. But I'll tell you what John did do. He fulfilled the mission that God had for him and what God had lined up for him to do. And that's what made him great. Because he done what God gave him to do. And Jesus is saying, you ain't got to be rich. You ain't got to be famous. You ain't even got to be talented. All you got to do is fulfill the mission that God has given you. That's all you've got to do. Listen, I've understand something in my life of ministry. I ain't worried about being great. I just want to do the mission God's gave me to do. I want to be successful in what he has put in my life, what he is wanting me to do. I wanted to be successful in it. So John, as great as he was, that the Bible said they come from all over to hear him preach, to hear him give the word. John, in our text today, teaches us that there is one that is above him. As John knew he must decrease, John says this, one greater than I is coming, whose shoes I am not worthy to even bear. Matthew 3:11. And then John says in verse 31 of our text, he that cometh from above is of all. Amen. Amen. We know that the one came from above. The Bible teaches us other listen in this life that no one has come from above. We all come from beneath. We will all come up from the dust of the earth. We were made from the particles of what this earth is, as Jesus formed it and breathed into us the breath of life. And there is none other that has come from above than Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that John is talking about. I want you to understand something. Adam was made from the dust. David said that I, was curiously wrought in my mother's womb. Amen. We all came from dust. I'm reminded of what I was at a meeting one time, and I remember what the preacher said. He said, all of you out there with doctor in front of your name, he said, don't think you're something. You were made from the dust just like everybody else. He said, so the next time you want to title yourself, just call yourself Dr. Dirt. Because you was all made from the dust of the earth. And there's only one that has come above, and that is the one called Christ. Thank God he came from above that we may go above and be with him eternally. That's what Jesus did. Amen. Here's my message tonight. If God will help me preach it. Christ is above all. That's what the scripture said. Christ is above all. Now that has a great significance. That had great importance because the Bible is saying there is none above Jesus. None whatsoever. Never has been. And never will be. I remind you when he talked of John, he was talking to the Lord of the time he was in. And he says, none greater has been before John. But he was after John. Amen. And since him, there's been none greater than him. Amen. None greater whatsoever. So we understand that Christ is from above, and being above all means that his birth was above all. Amen. There had never been a birth like the birth of Jesus Christ. Never in history had there been a birth like the birth of Jesus Christ. His birth was above all. It was a birth of purity where no sin was involved. The Bible teaches us that he was born of a virgin birth. Now, they would tell you that's medically impossible for a virgin to have a child. But the Bible says Jesus was born of a virgin birth. That means Mary had never knew a man. Amen. And by the way, she never knew one after Jesus was born. Amen. She was a virgin. She gave birth to Jesus as a virgin. Now, Dr. Fuzzyhead said, it can't happen. But I don't care what Dr. Fuzzyhead said. I'm telling you, Jesus was born a virgin birth. I'm not telling you something you don't know. You didn't know that. I'm just reminding you of it, that he is above all, even in his birth. There had never been a birth like that and never will be again. We're talking about the one that came down from above. That is above all. And his name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Christ of eternity. Amen. Never been one born like him. And never will be another. Christ, the one who holds eternity in his hand. Think about this for a moment tonight. When Mary had her child, Jesus, and she laid him in the manger, she was holding the Son of God. Amen. She was holding the Creator of her. She was holding him in her hand. Yeah, think about it tonight. When Mary held his little hands and walked beside him for the very first time, she was walking with the Son of God. If that don't stir something in your heart, there's something missing. She was holding the Son of God, walking with the Son of God. I am telling you, his birth was above all because he was born sinless. We were born, as David said, even in my mother's womb was I conceived in sin. Amen. But Jesus was not. He was born sinless. He walked sinless. And he left this world with sin as a payment. Because he paid for mine and your sin. But he never, ever knew sin. I want you to understand something. That his birth was not his beginning. It was his revelation. It was him coming and being presented to the world. He was before the world was. He was. He is the Christ of eternity. When Genesis 1 and 1 was wrote, Jesus was there with it. Because he is the Son of God above all. The Bible teaches us that he created all things. Here's what John, Colossians 1 and 17 said. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's in John 1 and 17. You see, I give scripture down because I ain't got enough of mine to remember it. You say that's old age, preacher. No, it was that way when I started and ain't got no better. Amen. Amen. I learned a long time ago, the weakest pen is greater than the strongest mind. Amen. And so I write scripture down. And 1 Colossians 1:17 said, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying the same thing that John said. He, Christ, is above all. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, he was born into this world. He lived in this world. He walked in this world. And there was never none while he walked that was more greater than Jesus Christ. John knew it, and Paul knew it. I just wish this world would get a hold of it. Amen. I wish they'd get a hold of it. We lost it somewhere in this generation. I look out and see you young folks. You know what I say? Thank God it ain't all lost. It ain't all lost. He was above all in his birth. He was above all in his walk. Amen. Christ was above all in the walk. Never had a man walk like Jesus. The prophets that was before him didn't walk like Jesus. Amen. Jesus walked with a sinless life as he walked through this world. The Bible tells us, who knew no sin, neither guile was found in his mouth. That's in 1 Peter 2:22. He was a man who lived without sin. You know, I want you to understand this. There was a purpose behind that. If he'd have had sin, he couldn't have been the sacrifice. You know how long Israel has been looking for a red heifer that had no spot or blemishes? They found one, by the way. I've been told they got two at this time. Why do they need it, preacher? Because the only sacrifice can be made at the temple for God's glory is one without spots or blemish. But Jesus was that sacrifice. He walked without sin. No man had ever walked without sin. You can't show me one prophet in the Bible. You can't show me one man in the Bible who didn't have sin in their life. One of the greatest men that had, and it's given as an example of Christ himself, and that was Joseph, but yet he had sin. Amen. Even Joseph had sin. Jesus walked. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 said. For he was made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteous of God in him. Amen. He did no sin, walked without sin, that we may have no right. We may have his righteousness in us. I'm not walking in my righteousness. I'm walking in Jesus' righteousness. He walked a sinless life. And that's why the Bible teaches us, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. As long as we're in the Spirit, we're walking like Jesus. I feel like I'm walking like Jesus up here tonight. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand something. He walked without sin. And he walked with the greatest compassion any man ever had. Jesus had compassion. My goodness, where has the compassion gone from in the church in the age that we live in? It seems like we have become so selfish, we have compassion for nothing else. It may not be that way up in Lancaster, South Carolina, but it's that way down where I'm from, where people are so selfish, they only think about themselves. Jesus walked this earth not thinking about himself, but having compassion on those that was around. I want you to understand something, that Jesus went forth saving a great multitude, and the Bible said he was moved with compassion towards them and healed their sickness. You can write it down. That's in Matthew 14 and 14. He walked about and he was filled with compassion. No man has ever walked like Jesus did with compassion. I just asked the Lord to give me a touch of that compassion as I walk in this generation, that I can just have a touch of it, because I want to be just like Jesus. Amen. Just like Jesus. I had somebody come to me at the church the other day. And they gave me a little statue about that high. It was a statue supposed to be of Jesus. And they said to me, there's one up here, amen. They said, everybody needs a little Jesus. Amen. Everybody needs a little Jesus. Bless God, we need to get the compassion that Jesus had. We need to have the compassion of God. He was moved with compassion, and he healed the leper. He was moved with compassion, and he healed the blind. He was moved with compassion, and he fed the 5,000. Jesus Christ was full of compassion, and he loves you, each and every one of us, because he was filled with so much compassion. He went to the cross for us, to die for us. Amen. Y'all preaching me right hard tonight, but it's okay. Amen. God will help me. Amen. Listen to what I'm telling you. Jesus walked. He came from above and walked this life sinless and full of compassion so we could walk like him. Amen. He was our example. You say, preacher, I hear it all the time and it bothers me, but I hear it anyway. Well, those people out there, that church, well, at least they're trying to walk like Jesus. We may not always walk like Jesus, but we're trying to walk like Jesus. And that's what really matters, that we have a heart desire to be like Jesus. No, I ain't always been like Jesus. I ain't always did everything perfect. But in my heart, I desire to walk like Jesus. And to be like Jesus. He was above all in his walk. And Colossians 2 and 6 says it this way. And we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Hold on to it. So walk ye in him. Amen. We received him. He lives in us. We are the temple that he abides in. He says, so walk like Jesus. Walk like Jesus. Amen. You ever notice a kid when his dad, following his dad when he's young, when they get older, they say, and they push you aside. But you ever notice a little kid, his daddy will be walking, and that little kid will be right behind him trying to walk just like him. God said that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be trying to walk like Jesus. Yes, we will fail. We will not get it complete like we need to get it. But bless God, we can have similarity to him. Huh? We can be the best like him that you can be and try to do that for Jesus. Jesus is above all. Christ is above all. He was above all in his walk, in his birth. And Christ is above all in power. Oh, yeah. Ain't nobody got the power like Jesus had it. Nobody has the power. The Bible said in Matthew 28 and is it 18? And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power. Nobody has the power that Jesus had. I want you to understand that. I want you to get that and quit letting the devil run all over you. When the devil comes, you let him know, I got the power of Jesus, and I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk with the Lord. Amen. All power. Power over sickness. No, God does not heal everyone. Amen. He just doesn't do it. I was in the hospital yesterday with our member who is very bad off. And I was talking with Greg, her husband. And I told Greg, I said, I know God can heal her if it's God's will. Amen. It ain't always God's will to do it. But I know God can heal sickness. I am an example of that. God healed me. I know God can heal sickness. Listen, he has done mighty things for me ever since I've been a child of God. And the most recently has been the stroke that he's healed me from. Amen. What, 2 years ago, Kathy, that I had the stroke in September? And by January, God had me back up in the pulpit preaching. And you see how I'm preaching tonight. God has healing power. And there is no. Now, I ask God, God, why don't you just heal it on the spot? But some sickness and the healing in it is for the glory of God. And if he'd have healed me on the spot, nobody had ever saw what God done. That had never had witness of what God done. He healed me of a heart attack and nobody saw that except my wife and my doctor. Amen. And he didn't want to believe it. When God healed me of that heart attack, back when I was 40s, God healed me of that heart attack. And I went to, had the heart cath done. And when I had the heart cath done, that little Jewish doctor looked at me and said, why are you here? I said, my wife made me come. That's exactly what I told her. I wasn't telling no lie. Kathy got up that morning. We were set to go, had the heart cath. I looked at Kathy and said, God's healed me. We don't have to go. And Kathy looked at me and said, please go for me, Billy. Please go for me. And I went. But God know that day, that night, sitting in my chair by my bed, that Jesus came and healed me. And then the doctor noted when I got there. And you know what he said when I told him God healed me? He was a Jewish doctor. You know what he said? God can do that. Amen. That's exactly what he said. I went back to Dr. Sejan, my regular doctor. He said, Billy, it ain't so. You've had a heart attack. I've seen the results. We're going to get more tests done. I said, no, we're not. I said, God's healed me. And he said, but Billy, I said, no. You can talk all you want to. We're done with testers. And brother, I'm here to tell you, God has power like no one has power if he decides to do it. Amen. He has power over death. Amen. He has power over sickness. If you remember the woman with the issue of the blood, she didn't say, if Jesus speak the word, if he'll just let me touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she did. He has power over death. Jarvis was in that same book. And Jarvis, if I'm pronouncing his name right, said, my daughter's sick. Will you come and touch her? And they went to where Jarvis's daughter was. And when they got there, those around him said, don't bother the master. She's dead. Amen. But Jesus goes where she's at. And Jesus says, daughter, arise. Amen. And she rose up from the dead and was revived through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then he looked at her and said to her mother, give them to her mother and give her something to eat. Amen. I like it when God says, give you something to eat. Amen. I do. I like it. Amen. We had an eating Saturday night. We got an eating next Saturday night. We had an eating at homecoming 2 weeks ago. Amen. I like eatings. I'll just be honest with you. And she said, give her something to eat. You see, when we get healed of our sins, we can sit down at the Lord's table and eat what God's serving. Amen. Amen. We can eat what God's given. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God has power over death. What about the widow's son? Amen. The Bible teaches us that there was on this side of town a funeral procession or going out of town. But there was on the, coming into town a procession of life. Amen. And they collided. They met together. And when they met together, Jesus said, come up. and he come up out of the casket. Amen. They still looking for the funeral director. They ain't found him yet. And he come up out of the casket and he present him to his mother. And brother, God has power over death. Amen. He can raise the dead. Well, Pastor, the man, Mr. Edwards, you might know him, Brother Henry Edwards. He was in our church, and we were building a new church here at Evergreen. There was not a Saturday that went by that Brother Edwards didn't come out there while we couldn't work. He had heart problems. He come out there every Saturday bringing drinks and crackers for us while we was working. Every Saturday. And he had a heart attack. And they took him to Charleston. And they took him to Charleston. And when they did, and he was in ICU unit there, they had him on the respirator. And they told his children, we're going to take him off. And he probably won't live 5 minutes after we take him off. And we went back out in the lobby. The family was tore up. His brother headed back to Conway to make the funeral arrangements. Amen. They were headed back to make everything ready for that. And the family stayed there, and we stayed there. And I told the family, hey, listen, doctors ain't in control. The doctors ain't in control. It may be God's will he's going to take him. But it ain't left in the hands of the doctors. Amen. It's left in the hands of Jesus. Amen. Because Jesus has power over death. I remind you of something that he told the Satan himself. You can touch everything that Job had, but you can't touch his life. Amen. He has power over death. And so the next morning come, and they let us go in and to visit with Brother Edwards. And when we went in, we went in. Now let me tell you something he told me before this happened. He said, preacher, I want to be funeralized in this church, the new church. He said, I want to be funeralized in it. Well, they told him the church ain't finished. And they said he's going to die. And we go in the next morning. He's sitting up in the bed, eating some breakfast, smiling at me. He said, preacher, I'm ready to go home. The world, the doctors ain't in control. They do what they do, and I appreciate what they do, but they are not in control. He that is above all is in control. And his name is Jesus. He was the first man that we funeralized in that new church. God let him live until the church was built and we was worshiping in it, and he was the very first person that we had a funeral service in that church. You see, God is in control. Amen. God is in control. And God has power over sickness, over death. He has power over the storms of your life. Amen. He's above all. They were on the ship in the boat, and the storm was about to take the boat, filled up with water, and the disciples went in the hinder part and called him forward and said, don't you care, we perish. And the first thing he said, where's your faith? Yeah. Amen. He has power over your storms. Son, the devil is throwing every storm he can at the children of God, and especially the men of God. He's throwing everyone in. I have preachers calling me and telling me what's happening with them. It's the pure devil trying to stop what God is doing. Amen. Amen. The pure devil. And Jesus says and steps out on the boat and says, peace be still. Peace be still. And that sea became glass immediately. I don't believe there was a ripple in the water, Brother Timmy. I don't believe there was a ripple in the water. I believe it was like a looking glass. Because when Jesus does it, he does it right. Amen. He does it right. So he has power over the storms in our lives, the sickness of our lives. But I like this, and most of all, he has power over Satan. Amen. He's above all. You heard what I said, didn't you? He's above all. Amen. He has power over Satan. I remind you, on the same shoreline that he stepped out in the sea and said, peace be still, when he got to that shore and stepped off of the boat, one met him that was possessed with devils. And the Bible said they called him Legion because there were so many that were just possessed, tremendous. He stayed and lived in the graveyard. He cut himself with stones. He would cry all night long. And it was tormenting to the people that was hearing him, but not the torment he had, because Satan had him. The demons possessed him. And he come to Jesus and fell down at the foot of Jesus. And he said, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, demons, get out of him. And the Bible says that he put them into the swine. Yeah. And they jumped off the cliff and drowned themselves. Ain't it something that swine don't even want what many people are carrying? Amen. Amen? Don't even want what many. There's a lot of possessed demon people in this world. You can believe what you want to. There's a lot of dead. There's a lot of people in this world. You can't do the evil that's being done in this world and not be demon possessed. Amen. Amen. It is not in the human nature to do it. And it ain't nothing new. It's just got more progressive. It's got more real. It's not new. It's been around when I was a child. Just not openly spread as much as it is now. But I want you to remember something. All the demons in the world can't touch you, because God has power over Satan and his works. And unless God allows it, they can't touch you. I had a person to tell me, a preacher, I used to serve God, love God, but a demon possessed me. I said, it ain't so. Amen. I said, if a demon possessed you, you opened the door to let him in. He didn't make his way in by himself. Amen. So be careful what you allow the doorway to be involved in. Because if you let it be involved in the evil of this world, then it can possess you, because you have fell away from the power that God can do in your life. Amen. We all get tempted. Amen. Now, I might rock the boat a little bit here. It's okay. I'm going home when I finish. Amen. Be careful what you watch on TV. Be careful what you bring up on the internet. Amen. Be careful what you allow your children to be involved in. Amen. When it comes to television. And you can't even let them watch cartoons no more. That devil has got so involved in cartoons, unless you carry them back to Bugs Bunny, they can't even see something the devil ain't involved in. Amen. Amen. Me and my daughter had an argument. Amen. We had an argument over Harry Potter. I'm going to tell on her. I don't tell on Carla much, but I'm going to tell on her. Amen. We had an argument. And she said, Dad, Harry Potter ain't no worse than Bewitched. We growed up on Bewitched. She growed up on Bewitched. And she was letting her children watch Harry Potter. I said, Carla, you are letting the devil deceive you. On Bewitched, she just twisted her nose and it happened. And it was no way that you believed it was real. It was no way that it was real. But in Harry Potter, they actually do witchcraft. They actually do spells of witchcraft. I said, Carla, there's a difference. Be careful what we let our children get involved in. It looks so natural. It looks like there's no harm in it. But I'm telling you, from the time that this music come into the world to these shows that are of the day, the devil has been trying to get our children. But God has power over them. Amen. Jesus said, you unclean spirits, come out. Just come out of him. You don't belong there. Just come out. We have in this world today, the people that don't believe in it. I have seen it with my eyes. I have seen it at White Savannah Church when a little skinny boy throwed four grown men off of him. Amen. Demon possessed. Seen it. I have been in my church and I was praying for a man that was on the altar, and I was trying to tell him how much Jesus loved him. And he stood stiff back on his knees, looked me dead in the eyes, and said some choice words that I will not repeat. And he looked me dead in the eyes and said, I ain't afraid of you. That was a demon possessing this man. A demon. And I just simply took my Bible. Come on now. Come on. This is the word of God. I simply took my Bible and reached around his back and laid it on his back, and he wheeled it back to the altar. I'm telling you, Jesus has power. He is above all. He is above all. The sad story of that man's life is a few weeks later, he was in a house fire, burned over 70% of his body, and he never survived it. I went to the hospital to witness to him, and he couldn't even respond to me. And he left this world, as far as I know, not knowing Jesus. Amen. Because the devils possessed him. The devils had him. But God has power over Satan. And God has power. Christ is above all. He has power through his redemption. There's not a soul that God can't redeem unless he's blasphemed the Holy Ghost. There's not a soul that God can't redeem. You say, what you mean, preacher? I don't care how deep in drugs, how deep in sin, how deep in the ungodliness of the world, God can deliver them. Because there is none above redemption like him. Can I tell you this today? The Bible says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that there is no redemption without Christ Jesus. I don't care what these modern-day preachers said. There ain't but one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. I told this story just the other week in our church. It might have been this morning. I don't remember. I forget. Amen. But Jehovah Witnesses, did I tell that this morning? Jehovah Witnesses come to my house. And there was four of them. They travel in packs. There was four of them. And this lady was the spokesman. And she wanted to sell me on their religion. And I looked at her. I said, do you believe the Bible? She said, well, we have our own Bible. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, you believe what is called the Holy Word, the Bible of God. Yeah, we believe that. I said, so then you believe that you must be born again to go to heaven. And she looked at me and said, now, we don't believe that. So I said, so you're telling me you don't believe the Bible because it's in the Bible. Amen. He said, no man come to the Father unless he come through the Son, Jesus Christ. I said, it's in the Bible. You told me you believe the Bible. Well, we use parts of the Bible. Huh? I said, then you don't believe the Bible. Amen. She said, well, you must think you're the only one going to heaven. I said, no. I'm telling you, unless you've been born again, I believe the born again Christians are going to heaven. And unless you've been born again, you're not going to go to heaven. She looked at me and said, I want you to know something. That the Pope has put his seal of approval upon our religion. I said, I want you to know something. If the Pope ain't saved, he ain't going to heaven neither. Amen. And they got mad and they got mad and got in the car and backed out and started down Terra Lane where we live. I run out to the car. Ho, ho, ho. They stopped the car. I said, where y'all going? Well, we going to go down here and talk to these folks. I said, I'll be right down there. I said, them my people. I said, I'll be right down there. They put it in reverse and left. Amen. Bless God. I want the world to know you can't be saved except through the redemption of Jesus Christ. And there is no one Jesus can't save if they'll call on the name of Jesus. I fully understand the Holy Spirit's got to call you. No man can come unless the Spirit calls you. But if the Spirit calls you, there is no sin in your life God can't forgive. None whatsoever. Can I tell you one more story? I'm about done here. Amen. You say, how long of a preacher are you? We're going to find out in just a little while. Amen. There was this story I read to be a true story. You may have read it yourself. This lady's daughter, a man took her, done unimaginable things to her, and then killed her. Well, they caught him. They locked him up in prison. And this lady who was a Christian, she went to where the prison was and spoke to him. And she looked him in the eye and said, I'll never forgive you for what you did to my daughter. I'll never forgive you. And in the meantime, after that, he got saved. God saved him in the prison. God will forgive any sins. Amen. He has redemption for anyone that calls on the name of Jesus. And he got saved, and he wrote a letter to this lady. And he wrote the letter. He said, "Ma'am, I want you to know something. God saved me." He said, "Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not looking for God to spare me the death penalty that has been given to me." He said, "I'm not looking for that. But I wanted you to know that I hope you can forgive me for what I did to your daughter." He said, "I am so sorry that I did that." He said, "I know I must pay my punishment, and that's good." He said, "But I wanted you to know." This lady dealt with it and dealt with it. And finally, God got into her heart. And she goes back to the prison. And she tells this man, she said, "Listen, I'm glad God saved you. I'm glad God forgave you." She said, "And I said, I'll never forgive you." She said, "But I do." And this man died on his death by the death penalty. But he was right with God. God has redemption for anyone. No matter what severeness of the sin is, God has. If he can forgive Paul, Saul, don't you think he can forgive anybody? Saul stood there and he approved of this killing of Stephen. He approved of it. Saul went into the area of the church there and dragged people out and beat them. Because they served Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, something changed in Saul. Amen. A light shined down from heaven. Can I stop here and say this? I thank God for the day the light shined in my life. Amen. I thank God for that. He got changed. I'm going to testify just a moment of me. I walked out of church at 15 years old. What little I went to church. I only went. But then when I was 15 years old, I got under conviction, went to the altar and prayed. And God, he saved me as good as I could be saved, I believe. And so for a few months, I was solid in church. But the devil got me looking at everybody else. He got me to looking at who was professing but weren't showing possession. And at 15 years old, I said, "This thing ain't real." And I got up out of church and walked out at 15 years old. To 24 years old, I never dotted the doors of a church but one time. In 24 years, one Sunday night, in 9 years to the age of 24, I only dotted the doors of the church one time. My mama begged me till I finally went to Sunday night service with her. Amen. She had got saved then. She wasn't saved when I was being raised. And I went to Sunday night service. And it made it even worse. I'm not going to tell that story. It takes too long. But it made it worse. And then I walked out of there and said, "I'm done with it." I told my wife, "Don't you never mention church to me again." Amen. I would have never stopped her from going. But I told her, "Don't mention it to me. I'm not having no part of it." At 24 years old, God saved me. It was not in the church. But God came to where I was. And he shined a light on me. And I realized something at 24 years old. Amen. 9 years without God, anything to do with God. At 24 years old, he showed me he would forgive me and cleanse me. And from 24 to now, I've been trying to serve and live for God because he did so much for me. If God, I'm going to go ahead and share it. I've shared it recently. But at our 50th school reunion that we had last year, was it? We had our 50th, I had my 50th year school reunion. And at that, our president of our class is still alive. Most of the class is gone, but there were still some there. I don't remember how many was there, and that's not important. And here's what she said, these very words, when she got up to speak and she was going to ask me to pray. It's the only one I ever been to. I never been to another reunion. In 50 years, I never went to any of them. And she got up and said, she said, "I want y'all to know something. God can save you." Yeah. "I know that to be true," she said, "because if God can save Billy Poe Jones, he can save anybody." Yeah. Right in front of my whole class. Amen. But she told the truth. Yes. God has redemption. God will redeem. He is above all in redemption. And when it looks like none, let me get back to Saul. Saul saw the light. He heard the voice. And God redeemed him. The one who persecuted the church. The one who gave the approval of the death of Stephen. He saved him and made him an apostle for him. What are you saying? There's salvation through the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. My last verse, get us a song, Brother Tim, however how y'all do it. Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. It's not because we deserve it. It's because his grace is before us. Amen. I did not deserve salvation. But when I asked Jesus, he gave it. He gave me salvation. And I want you to know I love him till the day for it. Amen. Amen. I love him. I thank him for saving me. And I've not been the same person from 24 to now. Amen. I've not been the same person. The same year God called me to preach, I started pastoring in 82. And I've tried to do the mission God's gave me ever since he's called me. And that's all God asks us of it. He don't ask you to do nothing spectacular. He just asks you to do what he asks of you. That's all. He ain't asked me to be a Billy Fields, Brother Timmy. He ain't asked me to be a Jack Lassiter. And you know these preachers. They were great preachers in our time. Great preachers. He just asked me to be me. Just do what he's laid out for me. And that's all I want to do is do what he's getting. That's all God wants you to do. He redeems you to be you. Not to be what people says you ought to be. He redeems you to be you and to live for him. That's all he wants.